שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 460 את המאמר השלום בעולם. אתם יכולים למצוא אותו גם באתר שלנו.
We're going to read Peace in the World. You can also ask questions live, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson. So we're going to read Peace in the World, starting with the words good and bad are evaluated by the actions of the individual toward society. Before we examine the correction of evil in the human race, we must first determine the value of those abstract terms, good and bad. When we define an act or an attribute as good or bad, we should clarify with regard to whom that attribute or act is good or bad.
We always have this confusion. How many political parties are there today? 40?
42.
42. In the meantime, you're saying there's still hope for it to grow. Okay, so if you ask them about good and bad, speak to any of them, they'll say that they're, you know, everything else besides them is bad. So there is a problem here. How do we evaluate good and bad? That's a big trouble. Yes.
And to understand this, we must thoroughly know the proportional value between the individual and the collective, meaning between the individual and the collective that the individual lives in and nourishes from, in both matter and in spirit. Reality shows us that an individual cannot exist in isolation without a sufficient number of people around him to serve him and help him provide for his needs.
What does he want to say? Certainly, no one can exist alone. Everyone can exist in a society. The stronger the society, the bigger the society, the better. What does it mean, greater, stronger society? When there are many people, each of whom is strong. If everyone is strong, then his opinion is strong, his view is strong. Then they're all fighting among each other. That's called a strong society. So there has to be something that brings them together, despite being egoists and everyone insists on his view, and yet everyone can concede his view, not that to say that he deletes his view, but that he rises to a second level where they connect, and then this is how everyone maintains his oppositeness and differences, and yet also maintains connection with everyone. That's a society that can exist in all conditions.
Hence, man is inherently born to lead a social life. Each and every individual in society is like a wheel that is linked to several other wheels placed in a machine. The single wheel has no freedom of movement in and of itself, but continues with the motion of the rest of the wheels in a certain direction to qualify the machine to perform its general function. And if there is some malfunction in the wheel, the malfunction is not evaluated relating to the wheel itself, but according to the service and role with respect to the whole machine.
Well, it's like the allegory of the parable of two in a boat. Each one determines life and death for the other.
And in our subject, the benefit of each and every person within his collective is evaluated not according to his own benefit, but according to his service to the public, and vice versa.
Because it depends on the public, and the public depends on him.
And vice versa, we appreciate the measure of evil of each and every individual only according to the harm one inflicts upon the public in general and not by one's own individual value. These matters are crystal clear both from the perspective of the truth in them and from the perspective of the good in them. This is because what is found in the collective is only what is found in the individual, and the benefit of the collective is the benefit of each and every individual. He who harms the collective takes his share in the harm, and he who benefits the collective takes his share in the benefit. Since individuals are part of the whole, and the whole is not worth in any way more than the sum of its individuals.
But that's on the condition that the individuals know how they're truly effective to the whole. Not that everyone says, I know, and the others don't. And then we end up with a ruin. Meaning the ruin is not because everyone wants to harm the other, but everyone thinks that he knows what's good for the whole. Meaning the ruin comes from individuals who can't connect, and everyone thinks he knows how to do good to all. Is that understood? Yeah? This is something that is usually not understood. The ruin comes from having... How many people that live in Israel? 8 million? Yeah? 8.4. All right. So, everyone knows how to run the country and what needs to be done to do good to all. Everyone knows. And by that, they bring disaster. That's a problem. Everyone thinks that way. No one bows before the other, and they don't need to. They can't with their ego. They can't, and that's correct. That's good. That's always the case in an evolved society. So then how can they connect beyond that? That's the whole thing of the whole purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Connecting as a single vessel while maintaining each and everyone's ego despite how much it erupts.
It thus turns out that the collective and the individual are one and the same, and the individual is not harmed because of his enslavement to the collective, since the freedom of the collective and the freedom of the individual are one and the same too. And as they share the good, they also share the freedom. Thus, good attributes and bad attributes, good deeds and bad deeds, are evaluated only with respect to the benefit of the public. Of course, the above words apply if all the individuals perform their role toward the public to the fullest and receive no more than they deserve, nor take more than their friends share. But if a part of the collective does not behave accordingly, as a result, they not only harm the collective, but they too are harmed. We should not discuss further something that is known to all, and the aforesaid is only to show the drawback, the place that needs correction. Namely, that each and every individual will understand that his own benefit and the benefit of the collective are one and the same, and by this the world will come to its full correction.
Well, this needs to be checked and clarified, but we see how these things are actually very pertinent.
So we have 8 million people that know how to run the country, and what now?
Problem. You can't change their head, empty their minds, and that's not good. Also, it's not, you see, it's not just in our case. Look at, it's everywhere. Look at how many different parties and how many different strands and different connections internationally, all over the world. So what do? We have to know how to bring all of this together. But to connect in a way that not by some regime or KGB that to silence and limit everyone. That too eventually erupts and explodes in such a way that, you know, look at what happened in Russia 20 years ago. It'll happen soon again. So no, you need to know how to do that. There's no solution for it except for teaching everyone the method for spiritual education, which means connecting above the ego, that everyone must do, to explain to them how everyone's obligation in order to save ourselves from the end is to know how to connect above everyone's ego, recognition of evil, and then rising above that evil.
What about the 8 million opinions?
They will stay, of course. Everyone's. He teaches us this later. He says that specifically by correctly using 8 million views, you come to the blossoming of society if it's in order to bestow. But it's not by realizing each and every view directly, because that view ruins 8 million minus 1.
What then?
How? How it means to know how to connect together and as a single group, as a single ten.
How?
By the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
That says what?
That says that everyone lowers his head, only his head towards the others, and we come into connection in order for a special influence from above that will unify them. And that force that unifies them will lead them to a state where everyone will use their personal force, meaning their personal view, for the benefit of others and see how much it can be realized without hurting anyone and fully realizing himself. That doesn't happen. On a superficial level, it cannot happen. It happens only by what we call faith above reason. So there's no solution to what's happening in the world now. There is no solution. We've come to a point where the ego is revealed, we're all facing each other, against each other, and that's it. And then it's either destruction, and once again, being thrown into cave, the caveman days. Okay, whatever. If we're going to have any caves, I don't know. The jungles we're not going to have for sure, because they'll all burn. But anyway, that's the only way. You need a godly solution here, a spiritual solution that works on two levels. I can't explain this to you, but that's the only way. You cannot bring two egoists so that with one desire and a different desire to bring them together. You can't. It's impossible. Clearly, the spiritual force solves it. I can't explain this in words because you're still thinking linearly. And I'm giving you another space. It's like some bug that can only walk on a 2D plane and can't take into account the height. Doesn't have that sense.
So if we can't explain, then what do we want to explain to the public?
Not to explain. Bit by bit, there is no explanation here through the mind. There is explanation through the actions. If they make actions, the hearts will change and the hearts will understand, not the mind. To the extent that it follows what the Kabbalists are saying. That's called education, where the adult says what to do, they do it first, and then they understand, he was right. What can you do, mister? Yes, duty.
But that's on condition that they appreciate Kabbalists.
Okay, so they can appreciate someone else until the blows and the beatings will force them. Or our dissemination will nevertheless.
But again, it's intellectual dissemination, it's not something emotional.
Right, but you're addressing here the people of Israel that will suffer very great pressure and helplessness, and it'll be possible to somehow explain to them what to do. The Creator leaves you an opening.
Helplessness, this I understand. You can ask questions, and you can start appreciating who's great, and so on. I'm asking now, what can you do? Rav, to disseminate, week by week, you have to publish articles, write in your blog, I don't know what you're doing there. Duty. But again, it's something intellectual. Rav, try to do it emotionally. Try to do it as more emotional. Take a few more people that will write more emotionally, and these will write more intellectually, and those will write more scientifically, and those will write in about parents and their children in different ways for everyone. But we have no choice. We don't. Here, you understand the extent to which we're now really in a state of helplessness. Try now to explain this before the elections, that guys, nothing can help. People of Israel, you understand what you're doing. God forbid that they won't tell you that you want to cancel the elections, but really, what elections? What are we talking about here? This is why I'm saying that the only thing that we choose is that part of the government that are for that know how to keep our security, that know how to stand guard until the rest of the nation will grow wiser and will understand how to follow. Meaning we have to guard our borders. And this way, we have to continue. Meaning we have to choose a strong army, those that support that, and everything else, it's education. Yeah. Hi. Bala Sulam says that the next stage after democracy is fascism and Nazism. Rob, obviously liberalism is over. I also think I wrote a tweet about it, that, look, liberalism could exist as long as society is economically developing, that then all those fatties, meaning those that have money, they can give crumbs to the different liberals and they can exist. And then the liberals, by their quantity, start influencing the government. And then the government, along with the fatties, they encourage the liberals. But when there is a decline in the world economy, then it all quenches, and liberalism gradually quenches and disappears. And that's it? Hi. According to what you just explained, that where everyone has their own opinion, the multiplicity of opinions brings to destruction. According to this explanation, is it possible to explain why the next stage after democracy is fascism and Nazism? Rav, the same will happen here with the people of Israel. You're the one that is reading now what Tito said there. Leave the Jews alone and you'll see how they'll eat each other up. Chaim, yeah, that the Jews eat each other up. We don't have to deal with them. They'll finish each other off. But when everyone has a different opinion about what's right, then that would turns democracy into fascism. Why? Is it possible to explain things accordingly? Rob, no. It is a necessary process for democracy to become fascism because it is incapable of controlling the people by its growing ego, and therefore it turns into fascism. Why is there a KGB? Why is there this, that? You don't study history like what I studied in Russia. They had beautiful plans, like the kibbutzes here in Israel. Were the kibbutzes on their own? You see, they'd become fascists. They wanted to also do good things in Russia, but you see that you can't correct people. How will you force them to work? How will you force them to be nice? But a strong regime and pressure, and then it turns into a military regime. Okay, guys, you have hummus, right? Yeah. Yes, Gilad. So we have hummus, and we also have an amazing opportunity to get together on Sunday on a fabulous Unity event, and there are two very important things. First of all, we'll all sit downstairs, including Petah Tikva, as opposed to previous times where some of the people sat in different places because there was no place. Today, there's going to be place for everyone, like at the temple, so you can already register. And the second thing is that because it's already known, there are about 1,500 people. Up until now, 1,000 people registered. There will be excellent food and everything. It's necessary to prepare it. You have to buy the materials. You have to already register for this Unity event and to really see it as an opportunity to break through and show the world what Unity is. And one more announcement. Everyone's invited to the 1:30 p.m. lesson with Rav Lightman on Sviva Tova. Love, relationship, and what's in between. How to build love. We'll learn about how to use the laws of nature in order to build the perfect relationship. Let's come and upgrade our relationships now in Kabbalah La'am. Thank you to our viewers and have a good day. And to be an Israeli, a Unity event for the Israeli groups and for our groups, for our Israeli groups from all around the world. We're all Israel, so we're having this amazing event, and it's Sunday starting 6 p.m., and the Zohar radio will accompany the friends on their way. It'll begin at 4 p.m. And let's sing.
המקום עליו אנו דורכים, האוויר שאנו נושמים, עם ריחות ילדות וחברים, הבית עם השירים. כך גדלנו עם להבת הנר שעדיין בוערת בפנים, מניעה אותנו אלפי שנים מעל גלי החיים. כחודו של מחט אני אפתח כפתחו של אולם את הברית הזאת ביחד נממש עם כל העולם ניתן לאור לחדור אל חדרי הלב למעוף של בוקר יום הנה ביונה לבנה עם הלב בפי המרקד שלום